Hello, this is Garth. Welcome to ReachMahjong.com's podcast, weekly podcast. With me is...
Jen Barr.
And once again, we have our producer in the house, Troy Presley.
Hello, producer Troy.
Welcome back. Let's see, news, random news of the week. Steve Ryan is a father. Who would thunk he would join those ranks?
Yeah, that would be so good when if we had like our Tokyo podcast going already.
Yeah.
Whose fault is that?
Oh, is that Steve? Is that something we can blame on Steve Ryan?
Ryan is kind of a legend in Japan, and has nothing to do with Mahjong. But
yes, but he is legendary everywhere else. And he became a father, and he had a party on Saturday night. No,
not even close.
Yeah.
Wednesday.
I can't remember what day it is.
Saturday night was the night that you were late coming to my house to go to Osaka.
Wow, how do you keep days
Saturday
straight?
Night and Sunday morning. You were late both Saturday night and Sunday morning to go to Osaka.
How is that even possible?
And I was doing mixy Twitter all morning on Sunday saying, Garth, I'm supposed to meet Garth in 20 minutes. He's not here. And it's all like Mahjong fans on there, right? So they all know who Garth is. So they're all like, call him, call him. I was like, I'm calling him. He won't wake up.
Oh, man. Everybody must think I am a total jackass. If only they knew what a hero I was being at that moment. Well, actually, not quite at that moment. Several moments before.
Okay.
Speaking of being a hero, we coming home from Steve's party the other night, we rescued some little tart from the... platform, right?
She was. Is that an appropriate word for this podcast?
Tart?
I don't know. Is that bad?
No, it's not bad.
Okay.
It could be sweet and sour at the same time.
Oh.
Which is, right. I think, a very good term for girls. But I mean, we're very heroic, are we not?
Yes, we are.
Save people. What was up with that girl anyway?
I don't know. She just knew you from somewhere, so she decided that
you were going
to save her for the night.
She is friends, but had she really decided that I was going to save her, or she decided that you were going
to
save her?
I don't know, because I like practically refused to talk to her, and she was a little bit tipsy.
Yeah.
And so she was talking to me, and I just couldn't stop laughing on the train. I don't know if you noticed, we were on the train, and she started talking to me. And then she started showing us all her school papers. And I was like, this is show and tell. She showed you practically everything she had in her bag.
She showed me too?
Yeah, you and Blake and me. She had like some coffee that her friend got her from South America. She's like, look what, this is my friend goes to South America all the time. And then she took out her school papers, and this is the school I go to. And
Where was I for this conversation?
It was like show and tell. It was really like that, and I just could not stop laughing.
Yes.
She was very amusing.
She was, yes. And then she Facebooked me the next day, and then I saw that she was so hungover that she actually went home from work. So I think she's not used to drinking as much.
She did a good job waking up for work, because I was going to get up at 7:30 and go home with her. We were going to share a cab to the station and from your house, and she beat me. I did not get up at 7:30.
That was impressive, yes. All that getting upness. I certainly went right back to sleep after she left. Yes, speaking of, big slumber party. Yeah, just big slumber party, nothing, everybody just passing out.
Yeah.
So, yes, that was our Wednesday night?
Tuesday, let's do Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Tuesday,
yeah. Oh, yeah, Tuesday, because we're coming back from, yes. That was the other news for this week, right?
Yes.
Yes, we went to...
Osaka,
yes. And and then on the way back, we went through Nara.
Yes.
Had a fun time
and
checking out.
And we also stopped in Nagoya.
Oh, and Nagoya, too. That's right. Saw one of your buddies in Nagoya. Yes, a fun little trip we had, although our whole entire, our basic reason for the trip sort of got rained out, which was a little disappointing.
We were going to go see the Chehon's concert, which is the guy who sings Mahjong Fight Club, which is our outro song on the podcast every week. And so we're going to meet him. He knew we were coming. His manager knew we were coming. And the rain apparently also knew we were coming.
Yes. Said, here comes Jen. And just in case Jen happened to be anywhere in Japan, it dumped rain all over Japan for those couple days.
It knew I was going to drive across the country.
Yes.
So, like, in Japan, there's a phrase called ame onna, Which means rain girl.
Rain girl.
It means, like, anything time you try and do something outside, it just pours down rain. And I am really strong. I bring all my rain power from Seattle.
Oh, wow.
Rains
that's,
300
that's the
days
problem.
A year. Yeah.
From Seattle.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I'm generally, I'm from Southern California. I don't bring rain anywhere.
That's why I'm trying to share with you.
Oh, thanks. Woo!
I'm such a giver.
Yes, give, give, give. Give till it hurts. all right, so that was our escapades for this week. Let's see, in the world of Mahjong, this hasn't been a big, a very active week in the world of Mahjong. Coming up, we had the beginning.
We had a Women's League, though.
Oh, Women's League.
Yeah.
That's right. All right. So it's active in that world of Mahjong.
Right.
I'm not in that
the
world.
The tarts.
The tarts. The sweet and sour Mahjong.
I really don't think this is appropriate. Garth apologizes for being sexist.
I apologize for thinking the way I do. I was born in the 70s. We were still, you know, sexism was still okay back then, wasn't it? Yes. So the Sweet and Sour League. How did that go?
It's the Cherry Blossom League, actually. The women are cherry blossoms in Japan, okay?
More sweet and sour. There.
A cherry blossom sour? I never ate one.
You've never had a sour cherry?
Sorry, cherries, but not cherry blossoms. They're different trees, dude.
That's right. I forgot.
Duh.
Categories. So what happened in Women's League this week? For you, anyway.
Yeah, I was the only one who paid attention. I only paid attention to myself. So I was on the table with actually a girl from Kyushu and a girl from Toyama.
Uh-huh.
Who plays in the new North... Not North Kanto, North Honshu or something like that.
Wow, it's way up there.
Tohoku League, I think.
Uh-huh.
Which is East-North League.
Uh-huh.
It's brand new, too. It's just started last September.
Uh-huh.
And,
Brand new.
Yeah, I went up to Kanazawa about a year ago for a guest job. And their monthly tournament. Before they had the league, they had a monthly tournament just for anyone to play in.
Wow, and a monthly tournament that was actually run by Renmei.
No, it was actually run by Korin San, who is a member of JPML.
Uh-huh.
And it was called their Teireikai, so their regular tournament.
Uh-huh.
And it was JPML A rules, and anybody could join.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And so they got a lot of people playing that were from outside of Renmei? So it's not just Renmei members that were joining the tournament?
Right.
Renmei, by the way, of course, is JPML, Japan Pro Mahjong League.
No, there were a lot of amateurs, and there were a lot of people that had just taken the protest and just joined, because they had just maybe had their first Tohoku protest.
So, on average, what would be, like, a normal size for this monthly tournament?
There were, like, 30 people there.
Wow.
All the tables were full, and that was one of the days. It was, like, a nightmare.
Uh-huh.
So I had a guest job the day before at a different parlor that day. I mean, that same trip. So I went there, and then usually you have dinner with if you go outside of Tokyo for a guest job, usually you end up having dinner with the people from the parlor, like the people working there, because they kind of feel like they have to take care of you since you're out of town. And
we gotta do more visits.
So we were eating, and I said, okay, tomorrow I'm supposed to be there at 10:30, and the tournament starts at 11, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're like, yeah, and they're just it's like, okay.
Yeah.
So I was staying at my friend's house that I had met in Seattle, and I left about 10 o'clock, but there's a little bit of traffic, so I drove, and I might have gotten lost, too, because I don't know the area very well.
Yes.
Yeah. It's about a 6-hour drive out of Tokyo, so
new to the area.
Yeah. And then I ended up at the parlor at 10:45, and at 10:30, I got a call that said, "Where are you, Jen?" And I said, I'm almost there. You know, there's some traffic, and you know, I'll be there before the tournament starts at 11." And she said, "No, the tournament starts at 10:30."
Oh.
And I walk in, and it's one of those parlors you have to take your shoes off in.
Oh.
I walk in, everybody is sitting down staring at the door. There's one seat open. Like,
oh, I guess that's mine.
All I had, if I were naked, it would have been a perfect nightmare.
Wow. That is, yes.
Just walk in and dead silence.
Dead silence. So this was, this was that monthly tournament that he had been running.
Right.
Huh.
And then after that I played on the tables with the customers for a few hours, and it was fun.
So this tournament, they had prizes every month, or?
You know, I'm not really sure what the what the goal was, but they usually had a guest come every month or so. Yeah.
What was entry to the tournament?
I have no idea.
Because you were
the
guest.
I was a guest,
right.
Yeah, so I played for free, and I didn't win anything. But maybe they had prizes that day. Somebody got a bag of rice, I'm pretty sure. And I think there were cash prizes, probably, I don't know.
Wow.
Like small ones, yeah.
That is interesting.
I think the booby prize, which in Japan is the second to last place, was a bag of rice.
Oh, okay. But it's not a bad booby prize.
No, I would appreciate that very much right now.
Yeah, and of course, and here they can't eat without it.
Right.
They don't think they've eaten if they haven't had rice, which I always find entertaining. Because you know, like when I'm at the Mahjong parlor, I generally get like a sandwich or something. And they're like, "Oh, you like bread?"
Right. Exactly. It's bread or rice here. Yeah. You cannot like both, and you absolutely cannot eat both together.
You're either in the bread category or the rice category, right. And if they see you eating bread, then obviously you don't like rice, and then you're not like Japanese right. people. Like, because Japanese people like rice, and they're just like, "Dude, I can eat bread and still like rice." And another thing, I can eat bread and feel full even without the rice. And they can't. Can you imagine how much bread they must be able to eat? Because as long as they don't eat any rice, they just keep piling the bread and then they're like...
Really? Oh. I always got the impression that they would feel full with rice, but they just prefer... I mean, they would feel full both bread too, but they preferred rice, and they could not eat both together.
Huh. I mean, it always feels like when you talk to them, they feel like... They basically say that if they don't have rice, they don't feel like they've eaten. Like, it doesn't feel like a meal.
Right. But I always think
is funny.
I think that they still... Because whenever you go to the restaurants, you can choose bread or rice.
Yes,
so
exactly.
So I think that they...
Don't want to have too many kinds of starch all mixed together.
Right. It's just the staple, so...
All right. Well, we've gotten impressively off topic, which was... The first topic was your performance at Women's League.
This is a preview for our new show, premiering sometime in the next year.
When some jerk-off gets his act together again.
And we're going to have a podcast about Tokyo.
Yes.
And it will be funny, and it will happen someday.
Somebody will get their act together.
That was our preview, so look forward to it.
Yes, look forward to that. Now to the post-view of of Women's League. How was your Women's League last weekend?
Oh, right. So I was playing with people from Kyushu and Toyama. I think I've said this before.
Yes.
And
try not to go off on that cinch.
Right, so I started out really tired, and I lost the first game. And then I got second place, first place, all for a +2.5. So I came back from behind.
+2.5. Well, it's for...
Or 2.4, somewhere around 2. There.
Yeah. Yeah. But for 2 seconds and a first place, that's a rather... that's not a very big move. So I'm guessing your fourth place was kind of a big loss.
Right. Or maybe I got 1/3 place. I got really small second places.
Uh-huh.
And then a big first place.
Did you have any notable hands or situations?
There was one hand when I accidentally discarded the Dora. And then I drew 2 more Dora. Uh-huh. And then I ended up waiting on Dora and 6 of cracks. The Dora was the 2 of cracks.
Uh-huh.
So I was waiting on Dora and 2 of cracks.
Uh-huh.
And I could have changed my hand to 3-color runs. Because it was 6 of cracks and I had 5, 6, 7 in the other suits.
Right.
So there was plenty of room to change my hand. So it wasn't a completely horrible, horrible, horrible mess up. But it's possible I would have won if I had kept the first Dora.
Possible, yes. Very possible.
Well, I mean, I would have played the hand differently, so I might not have gotten the 2 6 of cracks and stuff like
that.
So I don't know for sure if I would have won. But yes. The best part about that is there was a guy from Kyushu as well. Actually, the Women's League, you're not allowed to watch anymore, even if you belong to JPML.
Oh, I remember you saying that, yes.
Right. But this guy was, I think he was reporting for the website or something, and he was watching behind me the entire game that I lost.
Oh.
So that was perfect. I gave him lots of things
to report about.
How
Sweet.
Not to play in Women's League.
At least for your first rather still tired game.
Yes.
All right. So that was, and that's what led into us going to Osaka the next day, right?
Right. So then after that, I went home to wait for you.
Oh, did you not say that you also had a hand where you had reached, and as you were drawing your next tile, you realized that the person that had just discarded their last time?
That was at Champions League.
Oh.
We talked about it last week.
Oh, okay. I'm confusing my misses. Yes. Okay. So that'll be covered last week.
Right.
Okay. So that kind of rounds out nicely the first half of our talk here, and kind of leads into what I wanted to talk about next, which is tournaments.
Right.
We were talking about a little bit about the way that guy runs tournaments, but let's take a little break, and we'll come back and talk about tournaments and your goal in running tournaments and what you want
to
do.
Okay, so on our break, we're going to play the song, the entire song. You get the entire Mahjong Fight Club song.
Super bonus.
Oni-san, sore ronya wa.
Ronya wa.
Domo, suimasen.
Suimasen.
This is Mahjong.
Aigo.
Jostash.
Ore no oya kara hajimarimasu. Naraba saikoro o furimasu. Chihai to Dora Yama wakete Dora Hai mekureba nan to pe Dabu dabu ton ton Dora Dora san san Vibes agari makuri man tan tan Kokoro no naka wa mo ran ran Behai mo nakanaka ee ayan Chunchou ni susumu koto 10分 Kimashita reachi o kakemasu Machi ni matta 30目 Atari hai o sukasazu roar Tokoro ga ron shita sono hai wa Ore no ステアマの左から3番目あたりのところにあ捨ててあったわバップバップはいこれバップテパーてたやつらからブーブー周りもしらけてうわさブーお金もなくなりゲブアップポンチリーチに一発ロー皆々麻雀やりましょう目指すはもちろん100万勝モニーは絶対かけましょうポンチリーチに一発ロー上がれば気分はもう最高場所はかなり寂れたジャンソー麻雀ファイトクラブ大車輪ツーアンコツーイーソー二流イーソーツーレンコチンノート大三元アー国士無双ポンチリーチに一発ロー黒服蔵並みにずっと負けそうな時は必殺の隣のやつとコンビネーションタバコ吸いすぎお酒飲みすぎパンチャン終わりまた次々時間は夜中の3時過ぎお体もちょいと疲れ気味うつろな目をして打ってると気づかぬうちに上がってたよ役はベタベタのいいペーコーそれよりお腹がペコペコ牛丼牛丼吉野家牛丼いつになれば復活すんのこれがないと盛り上がらんよ中うの親子で我慢しようそろそろ鉄馬も終わりですお日様も昇り朝方です勝ったり負けたり勝ったり負けたり結局プラマイゼロですメドインフロムチャイニーズ世界の各地で人気ですなかなか行ける娯楽ですイメージキャラクターはキキキリンですポンチリーチに一発ロー皆々麻雀やりましょう目指すはもちろん100万勝モニーは絶対かけましょうポンチリーチに一発ロー上がれば気分はもう最高場所はかなり寂れたチャンス麻雀ファイトクラブポンチリーチに一発ロー皆々麻雀やりましょう目指すはもちろん100万勝モニーは絶対かけましょうポンチリーチに一発ロー上がれば気分はもう最高場所はかなり寂れたジャンス麻雀ファイトクラブ
ポンチロッああお兄さんまたそれロンやわごめんやで
Okay, that was Chehon's song. What's the name again? Oh, Mahjong Fight Club. You'd think that would be a name I could remember.
Right.
Yes, Mahjong Fight Club from Chehon are usually out intro song, but you got to hear the whole thing there.
Yep.
And that was the reason we went to Osaka to see him.
And it's Japanese, but I think you guys can probably pick out a bunch of words in there, like Yakuman and some of the hands.
Kind of most of the lyrics are just random words from Japanese mahjong.
And there's one part in there about Yoshinoya, which I know they have in L.A.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is, like, we used to play mahjong all night long before we became pro. It's called Tetsumon. It means you play all night basically, mahjong. Because the train stops, so you play all night and wait for the first train. And we used to do that a lot, especially when I was in college. And a lot of times we would eat Yoshinoya, either before or after.
Oh, really?
Yeah, either Yoshinoya or ramen or something like that. And when there was a mad cow disease scare in Japan, they got rid of the gyudon, which is the beef bowl. And he sings about that. So this is, like, really nostalgic song for me, because it really reminds me of the days I was learning mahjong and playing with the boys all night long. And, yeah.
How funny.
Yeah.
All right. You get the story behind our ending song. And that brings us to our topic for this week, tournaments. This weekend, we have the beginning of the 10 Steps Tournament, Judansen in Japanese. The structure of this tournament is such that people join the tournament at different stages depending on which grade they are, which level they have become in the whole Renmei, that's the Japan Pro Mahjong League, system.
The rankings are like, they're like the same as karate or, you know, martial arts. Right. They're done.
As you gain more experience here and there, it can be just through league, or it can also be based on your performance in tournaments. You get points, and as you reach certain levels in points, you move up from one dan, one step, to the next step. I am currently, I just made it up to third step, and you're probably going to be about third step next time they re...
Yeah, probably in October.
In October.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you are still the second step, but you will probably be third step by the end of the year.
Right.
So that means that we will actually be starting from different points in the tournament, but this is something that we have both complained about quite a bit. Once we get to that third step, so I'll be starting at the third step, and hopefully you'll be making it there after you start at the second step. All of the steps are supposed to just be one four-game step.
Right.
You should play four games, and you'll play the same all the same opponents. All four players stay at one table per step, and then the top two players from each table are supposed to continue on to the next step.
Right.
However, apparently there's been a problem with this format in that so many of the players that we started out with that year have continued that there is a huge number of second and third step players. So that when they get to that third step, now it used to be actually that they were all second step players. So last year the second step was actually two steps. This year now there are two steps within just the third step,
right?
Which I think is ludicrous.
Yep,
absolutely ridiculous. And the thing is, all right. So I've gotten kind of used to the way they run the other tournaments here in Japan.
Riffling?
Yes, no more riffling, yes. I've gotten kind of used to the other format that they have, which is a lot of seeding. You know, players who have done well in previous tournaments, they get to start later stages in the tournament. Or also players who have done well in league, A-League players get to go straight to the main tournament.
Right.
Or also... you know, winners of the Judansen, the 10-step tournament, or the whole league thing, they get to start at the very end of the tournament, too. All right, I'm kind of used to that, although I still want to protest against that, too. But this tournament, the whole point of the tournament is to have everybody start at a certain step based on their ranking.
Right.
And then to screw us out of our ranking anyway.
Yeah, the only thing, you know, I would ask for is that all the third grade or third step players have the same conditions.
Right. So, yes. So
even if it's different than the rest of the tournament, everybody who's at the same level should have the same conditions.
Yeah, at the very least. I mean, it still would be unfair that that the third step players don't have the same situation as the fourth step players. But it's even more ridiculous that as third step players, we are somehow less third step players than the third step players that joined the league, you know, a couple years before.
Right.
So the way they work it out in the third step now is that we will third step players who have joined the league within I think the last 5 years will play three games, and then the top two winners or whatever, well, I think top two winners from that go on to the second half of the third step and play the remaining third step players.
Right.
For the top two spots from each table to go on to the fourth step, which, you know, I make it to the third step and then I have to make it through two steps actually to get out of the third step.
Yeah, and it's going to be the same for anyone who wins from the first or second steps.
Right.
Once they get to the third step,
they will also have two steps to go through.
Right.
And you know, I mean, this is the only place really that the ranking really matters in the whole league. And then to actually have it not turn out to be meaningful seems really absolutely ridiculous. And I can't understand how the higher ups in our league don't see this as patently obvious.
Right.
When I brought it up to Kamimura yesterday...
To Shin, who writes Shinzai.
Right. He's one of our writers on ReachMahjong.com, and he's also our boss at Sentenbo, one of the Mahjong parlors we work at. It was clearly obvious to him, too, and he also said, you know, how did these guys not see what we are talking about as obvious that it's really, really unfair?
Right. I was surprised that even Kono had a hard time understanding...
Right.
Why we had any problem with it at all.
He seems to think, well, it's pretty much the same. I don't understand what's wrong.
Yeah. And then, you know, I brought it, it's just, it's different. And their excuse is always, well, there's just not enough, there's not enough tables.
Yeah, right.
And then later there would be too many people moving on. And I said, well, that, you know, that's not the problem. And plus, when you get less and less people later, then there's enough tables in the parlor. And
yeah.
they use other parlors for other tournaments, so it doesn't make any sense at all.
So their reasoning that they can screw us out of our ranking because they have let too many people into Renmei, and so then that's our fault now because they let too many people into the
association. Well, not our fault, but that's
we have to deal with it. So, yeah, the whole thing is really strange. And then, from that discussion, I went on with Kamimura, or Shin, our boss, to talk a little bit about the way tournaments are run in general. And he was saying that, you know, the way they set these tournaments up so that the higher level players can often make it, they have an easier route to the final tables. Obviously they want to do that so that their high level players can win more tournaments, and it makes the tournament more prestigious to have the high level players winning. And man, I'm wondering if I really misunderstood what he was talking about there. But you know, as a sponsor for the tournament, Renmei would obviously like Renmei members and
JPML.
JPML would obviously like JPL members and hopefully sort of famous JPML members win the tournament, so that more people will want to join the tournament, so they can play with these famous players. For me, that seems like a really, really short-sighted and kind of elitist way to grow your event. And you know, I would draw the same sort of conclusion, or no, comparison to what really kicked it off for poker. You know, the World Series of Poker became really famous a few years ago when a total no one who qualified from an online tournament managed to win the World Series, and then the average Joe looks at that and says, "You know what? If that guy can win, I can win too."
Right.
And there's clearly no
Chris Moneymaker.
Yes.
Yes.
There's clearly
we all love him in the poker world.
Yes.
It's true.
Yes, he opened it up for everybody, and yeah. Everybody realized, look, you know, this is not some super accomplished professional poker player that everybody knows is going to win when he goes into the situation. It's some guy who just joined a tournament, and you know, obviously he played very well to get where he did.
Yep. On PokerStars, Team PokerStars.
Yes. But
not that I have any vested interest.
Right. Just get that in. But it gave the average player hope that they could compete in a tournament. And the way they have set up tournaments in Japan, it's so much more difficult for the average player to make it to the final table.
Right.
They have it set up so that it's kind of actually like, wow, the pros must really be kind of crappy if they can't win with all the advantages that they've set up for them. You know, in the end, I think it makes the pros look even worse. Like, wow, you guys have all those advantages and you still can't win? How lame are you? You know, and
luckily I'm not one of those pros with all the advantages yet.
Yes, me neither. Oh,
I still have a chance of being good.
Yes. I mean, I had a little bit of those advantages this year because I did well in the tournament last year. And, you know, it's, on the one hand, if you just look at my result for this year for Masters, I made it to the best 28. Wow. You know, that's better than, a good 900 or so of the people that joined the tournament. Well, except if you look at the whole situation, I started from the best 56. How impressive is that? Not really very impressive at all.
Mm.
And I think it's kind of ridiculous to say, you know, even Tucky, not to take any... Well, I guess I am taking something away from his accomplishment. It is a huge accomplishment to win the OE tournament 2 years in a row, but he didn't play the same OE tournament that I played.
Right.
He played a 16-person tournament the second time he won. And to say that
he didn't come in at the last 56?
No, the winner comes in at the last 16.
Wow. I thought it was 56 for some reason.
The winner comes in at the last 16, and all previous winners come in at the last 72.
Wow.
All previous winners. So, I mean, when you think about that, like, think about the advantage that all of those guys have over every single person that started the tournament at, you know, some little qualifying round somewhere.
But that's one thing. Bringing in the last winner at the end is one thing that I can be on board with, because they're defending champion.
Right.
So if they're defending their title kind of thing, because there's lots of sports examples that use that,
yeah,
where the winner comes in very, very late. That's not an uncommon occurrence.
All right, so I'm getting used to making allowances for that one person, and
right,
if that's the way they really want to do it there, okay, all right, we can have one guy come in at the end, although still, no self-respecting poker tournament would ever have such a format where, like, the winner from last year's tournament says, oh, I'll just join when you get down to, like, 9 players. But anyway, it's true, our tournaments do have different format, and so we can run our tournaments this way, where at least the one player gets to defend his title. But to have so many players jumping in at later stages in the game, it really feels, I don't know, it smacks of a weird sort of elitism that I think really detracts from the possible popularity our game could have. I think we would get a lot more interest if it could appear that average players could win tournaments. And the way they set it up, they really set it up against the average players winning the tournament. And so, actually, it's an even huger accomplishment for Makino last year, having won Masters, the guy who beat the crap out of me. He started from, like, the amateur qualifying round and made it all the way through all of those pros who had all the advantages along the way, and he won that tournament. And that is a huge accomplishment for somebody that didn't have the advantages of all the pros that start later and later at different stages.
Right. Well, also one thing in JPML is that most of the tournaments, except for Masters and OE, most of the tournaments are only for pros anyway.
Uh-huh.
Only pros are allowed to play.
That's true.
So that is one difference. And only JPML pros are allowed to play.
Yes.
In all the tournaments except for OE Masters and Pro Queen.
Huh. All right. So it's true. I mean, I realize that we're aiming for certain things in certain tournaments. But first of all, in the tournaments that we allow non-JPML pros to play, and in fact, if we allow amateurs to play in, I think it would be much more to Mahjong's advantage and to JPML's advantage if they would structure the tournaments so that average players had just as much chance to win as pro players. I mean, obviously, the fact that pro players are pro means they should be playing better in the first place. Why should they need such an advantage to get to the later stages of the tournament? It seems, and the idea of calling it a seed also seems really strange to me. It's not a seed at all. It's a handicap. So you're giving the stronger players the handicap. Come on, that's just all wrong. And then to then have a tournament which is based on people coming in at a certain stage, and then a certain stage based on their current ranking, and then still not even run the tournament correctly that way. Come on, get your act together. I don't want to sound like I'm really crapping on our organization JPML, because I know that both you and I have enjoyed a lot of benefits. And you know, if push comes to shove, and they say, okay, well, you can leave, or you can just let us do it the way. Obviously, I'm going to stay with Rembo. But for all of the other players in JPML who don't enjoy the same stuff we do, and who still are trying or working hard to build up their ranking, and then they get screwed too. I mean, you know, I do feel like somebody needs to say something for the players, for all the players.
And one of the great things about JPML is that we do have we do have
recourse.
Yeah, we have something called the Rigi, which is basically the administering board, which there are many members of. I think it's something like 30 members, and they have a meeting every month. And anybody who brings a subject formally to the attention of the DG, the board, has to be addressed. So they have to discuss it, and they have to talk about it, and they have to vote on it.
It's true. We did discuss that we were going to get our act together and make a note. But so that'll have to be next month.
So not all is lost. I mean, you can definitely bring subjects up, and it's not like JPML is some dictatorship where everything that they say goes and everybody has to just follow in line. There's a lot of opinions within the league, and there's a lot of different age groups. And I mean, within Japan, a single race nation, there's a lot of diversity in the league. And
yes, we do. Excuse me. So yes, we do have an opportunity to make our say heard, and I guess we should take advantage of that.
Yes.
All right. Well, so that's my big point here is that I know there are some other leagues and groups around the world that are working on building their base and expanding the popularity of this game that we love. And I think you should think about how it is that you run tournaments and your events. And you know, what is your goal? Are you trying to make your organization famous and make it just is it just supposed to benefit the people in your organization, which is sort of what it sounded like is the point with a lot of these tournaments that JPML runs, or are you trying to make this game that we love more popular and get more people enjoying it? And I think to that end, it would be much more beneficial to make everybody at least start start at the ground.
And, yeah, it's not to say you can't have like invitationals and things. They certainly have that with poker, where only certain professionals are invited to play and stuff. That's just another event.
Another
to have.
Kind of event, yes. But if you want people to enjoy playing with the pros, all right, let's make it an even playing field. And if you're a pro, you should be able to qualify out of that anyway, shouldn't you? I don't understand why
I haven't recently.
Well, I don't understand why the strongest players need a handicap. All right, so that's another long talk from Garth. So let's wrap up the podcast for today.
And we love JPML.
And we do love our JPML. We do think JPML is the best. And you know, it's the same thing about complaining about America. Even though I love America, it's just because it's the country that we love and it's where we're from doesn't mean that there's nothing wrong with it. JPML is the organization we're from. I love it, but it doesn't mean it can't be fixed.
Great.
We are patriots. We are JPML patriots.
Yes, we are not being unpatriotic by
to our JPML
speaking out against. Yeah.
Okay. So let's see. Having rambled on enough, let's see. Any housekeeping issues to talk about?
Get on the forums. They're new on the reachmahjong.com/en/forum, I believe. Okay. We should have a link from the new site on there very soon. That was one of the big problems we had, so when it's up, you will see it.
Okay.
Look on their website, reachmahjong.com.
And
if you want to contact us.
Oh, yes. I am Garth, EGARTHE, at reachmahjong.com.
And I'm Jen, JENN, at reachmahjong.com.
We love to hear from you, and thanks again for tuning in.
See ya.
ポンチェリーチに一発ロー南生じゃやりましょう目指すはもちろん役満床モニーは絶対かけましょうポンチェリーチに一発ロー上がれば気分はもう最高場所はかなり錆びれたジャズマージャンワイトクラブ ポンチェロッ お兄さんまたそれロン